Thanks, the lads.
Cool.
So, the church, yell out if you agree, the church lives, I'll turn this on, the church lives in the promise that God will build his church and the gates of Hades won't overcome it. Is that true? But just one generation after Jesus made this promise to Peter, the letter to the Hebrews was sent out to a church already struggling to keep its faith, already living in uncertain times, with constant pressure in the marketplace and an increasingly oppressive situation in the politicians and in the religious society. It's hard to see how the people and the church will be built up when the people are drifting away. Shout out if you agree with this one. The church is built on Jesus' promise that surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Do we agree? Amen. But the church in the West faces uncertain times, doesn't it? I mean, we live in an increasingly secular society, and there's also some division within the ranks, not here at Papanui Baptist, but maybe beyond. This week, the Baptist Union of Aotearoa New Zealand released its report of the findings from the listening hui that took place throughout the nation back in June, July, with all the Baptist churches of New Zealand. Having toured New Zealand and listening to hundreds of voices, the main finding of the report is this. We are at odds. There is tension. On the topic of the things that matter to our churches, we are at odds. There is tension. On the topic of our current situation, how to read it, we are at odds. There is tension. On the topic of how we should move forward into the future, we are at odds. There is tension. Jesus says he will build his church, but in times such as these, do we still believe his word? As we look to the next 60 years, not just for Papanui Baptist, but for the Baptist movement of Aotearoa New Zealand, and for the Church of the West, can we really be sure of God's faithfulness to build us? Don't steal the punchline. Today, as we look back to 60 years past, and as we stand in the hope of the years to come, our best hope, we think, is to look to the God who holds both the past and the future in his hands. And he is faithful and capable. The good news, as we turn to Hebrews chapter 6, verses 13 to 20, is that God's promises are unchanging and secure, an anchor for a drifting church. So get your Bibles out. We're going to read this passage together. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 13. When God made his promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you and give you many descendants. And so, after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised. People swear by someone greater than themselves, and the oath confirms what is said and puts an end to all argument. Because God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear to the ears of what was promised, he confirmed it with an oath. God did this so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we who have fled to take hold of the hope set before us may be greatly encouraged. We have this hope as an anchor for the soul, firm and secure. It enters the inner sanctuary behind the curtain where our forerunner, Jesus, has entered on our behalf. He has become a high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek. So the passage tells us that God's promises are as immovable as an anchor. And the preacher explains this by reminding us of Abraham's story. Our story begins in Genesis when aging Abraham and his barren wife Sarah have been picked out by God as the family of his promise. Blessed to be a blessing. Abraham is going about minding his own business when God tells him he's going to make him into a great nation. Which is odd, because Abraham has no children, and his wife has long since finished her menopause. So Abraham looks at God sideways and says, but before I become a great nation, how about we just start with one child? Abraham thinks God's promises unlikely, but he believes God all the same, waiting with patience. God persists to make his outrageous promise. And after several years of uncertainty, probably even, I imagine, a bit of anger that God had dared to raise their hopes once again, God in the end proves true. Sarah became pregnant and bore a son to Abraham in his old age. Like the early church in those early years of salvation, and like us in the initial highs of our relationship with God, the ancient family of this promise found that their old years were the best, because God's promise was plain to see in the delightful squeals of their toddler, Isaac. But then, of all the odd things, no sooner has Isaac been born and God's promise has been fulfilled, when Abraham is visited by God once again, and the promise turns to nightmare. God tells him to take his son, his only much-loved son, and to sacrifice him as a burnt offering. No sooner had the victory been given than Abraham had to lose it all again. Abraham had looked to the future and all was bright, but all of a sudden he and Sarah are forced once again to ask, can we really be sure of God's faithfulness? So faithful Abraham takes his one and only son, doubting, but obedient to God's instructions. He prepares his son as a sacrifice for burning. His knife is at the ready for slaying. When at the last second, God by his angel yells out to halt the proceedings, Abraham, Abraham, don't lay a hand on the boy, he says. Don't do anything to him. Now that I know that you fear God, because you haven't withheld from me your only son. After providing a ram as a replacement for the sacrifice, God calls out once more and says, I swear by myself that because you've done this, I will surely bless you and make you and your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. Through your offspring, all nations will be blessed because you've obeyed me. And as the smoke rises from his sacrifice to God, Abraham knows now that God will surely be faithful because God has confirmed his promise by his oath. On that day of the sacrifice, as he looks back to the uncertainty of his past, and as he now stands with hope confirmed for the years to come, Abraham trusts the God who holds the past and the future in his faithful and capable hands. And we know how the rest of his story goes. Abraham does indeed become a great nation, and through him, all nations have been blessed because of Jesus Christ. And at over 100 years old, let alone 60, that was just the beginning.
So this wonderful story is to remind us of God's proven faithfulness to us. And even in times when it's hard to see how God is going to be faithful, he's shown us that he's able to be, even when we just don't know how. And in the last few verses of this passage that Elliot read, there's a greater promise that it talks about. And we're reminded of the promise of the Messiah. And this Messiah will come through a woman, through the line of Abraham, through the line of David, as a human, in humility. The Messiah will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. He will bring good news to the afflicted, crush the head of the serpent, wash away the guilt of sinners, and provide faithfulness and salvation. The Messiah will serve as a mediator of divine blessing to the world, be resurrected from the dead, will be appointed as a covenant to the people and a light to the nations of the earth, will come again in judgment upon the nations. The Messiah will reign in perfect peace, justice, and righteousness as king over the eternal entire earth, will be given glory and everlasting dominion over all the nations of the earth, and his kingdom will be established forever. This sounds to me like a better promise. And this better promise is why we as Papa Nui Baptist Church exist. It is the fulfillment of this promise that Jesus Christ came, died, rose again, and ascended to the right hand of the Father, and then sent his Holy Spirit to build his church. Look around. This is proof of the fulfillment of the promise that God will build his church. We are part of that body. But with the church in the West decreasing, can we trust God to keep building? Can we trust him? Even in the last year here at Papa Nui Baptist Church, we've seen Jesus work in some extraordinary ways. Sir Noah got up and talked about how Jesus was ministering to her and her identity and a confidence that came in with that. Ken White has gone through a huge cancer journey and has kept his eyes fixed upon Jesus. Five of our youth were baptized this year and are seeking God in such beautiful ways. The youth used to sit down here, but now they sit over here. I think that's testimony of God's goodness. Firstly, I think that's wonderful. Bruce and Gaynor have been praying with a neighbor, and today they have a whole bunch of people from the neighborhood coming over for afternoon tea. Jesus is at work in this gathered space, but also in our scattered space. And it all testifies to the fulfillment of the better promise that God gave us. Through the big and the small, we hold hope to our we hold on to the hope of our salvation. We who have fled to take hold of the hope beset us, may be set before us, may be greatly encouraged. I hope you're feeling encouraged today as we celebrate. The hope is like an anchor to our souls. Jesus, our anchor, has entered into the most holy of places, and he's attached himself to us by his Holy Spirit. We're roped to Jesus Christ, who's in that inner sanctuary. Though we might have times of being storm-tossed as a community, we can be sure that Jesus holds us firm. And so like Abraham, we're called to be patient and really faithful, tied as we are to the risen Jesus Christ, who is the fulfillment of all of God's promises, the anchor of his church. God is faithfully holding on. For 60 years, we've seen God form and shape this church community. And there's still more that Christ wishes to do through us, for us, and in us. The church is not defined by its decreasing, and neither should it be defined by its increasing. Woe to us if we think that that's what would define us. But it is defined by the faithfulness of Jesus Christ and us patiently waiting on a God who is actively involved among us. So on the stage, we have this anchor, and you've got a piece of string on your chair. I hope you've still got it. What we're going to do is, if you would like to, this is totally optional, we've got this as symbolic to Jesus Christ, who's in the inner sanctuary, mediating on our behalf. And as a symbol, after 60 years, we'd like to recommit ourselves to faithfully and patiently waiting on God. And so if you feel inclined to, we'll encourage you to come tie your string onto the anchor. And while people are coming up and tying their string to the anchor, we're going to do it in sections. We're going to open up the space for prayer, praying for this church as we face the next 60 years. So we'll start with this side. If you so wish to come and tie, which Rob is, and I will indicate when it's the next space, but let's pray together for this church community here.